This is Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park. Shannon Dreher in for Dave Wyman today, and it's a pleasure to speak to a man who's heating up in the batter's box. He just knows how to hit. That's just what he does. He just hits, and he's done it six games in a row now, two home runs in the last three games. Talking about the one, the only, Ty France is with us. Ty, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. It looks like things are getting back to normal. The comfort level in the box, just physically, everything seems to be back to where it was pre-injury.
Yeah. I mean, the wrist is still, nags a little bit, but more or less it feels a lot better. The training staff did a great job of getting me back and definitely helped get me back to my old ways.
Ty, was it just a matter of resting it and giving it that time?
Yeah. It got to a point where like every swing hurt. So, those 10 days were huge for me to be able to just let it heal. It's a bone bruise, so the only thing that's really going to heal it is time. But now it's at a point where it doesn't hurt every swing, and I can get my A swing off again. So I felt comfortable enough to get back out there.
Is the power a sign of comfort or the healing, if you will? I mean, we were talking about, hey, he's getting hits. We haven't seen the power yet, and then you've gone deep in two of the last three games. Is that just sort of a product of, hey, I'm starting to feel better, the wrist feels better?
Yeah, I would say so. The power numbers, I don't try to. Home runs are something I don't try to do. They just come. When they start coming in like this, it's just, it's timing. Everything's going well in the box and, overall just healthy.
Ty, what's been really remarkable in watching you is that your numbers have been so consistent when healthy. What you did in San Diego, what you did when you came over to Seattle, what you did if you take out Houston and when you went on the IL. Before that, after that, everything is right around the same spot. What are kind of some of your touchstones to keeping that A swing?
I guess for starters, just making sure I'm on time for the fastball. My swing's been my swing almost my entire career. There's been some minor little tweaks, but more or less it's been the same. So as long as I'm on time for the fastball and trying to drive everything back up the middle, I know I'm in a good spot.
I know you've been asked about this a million times to this point, but why do opposing pitchers have such a problem with you? Why do they keep hitting you, Ty? What is happening? What have you done to them? What have you said?
I don't know. I must have made the whole league mad for some reason. I don't know why I get hit. I get hit a lot. It's gone all the way back to early college days. They kind of just taught us to not move when the ball is thrown at you. You were kind of praised for taking that hit by pitch, and I don't really walk a lot, so I kind of use that to get on base.
Are there any that have made you mad though? Anywhere you were like, "All right, man, that's enough. You're crossing a line. I'm starting to get a little agitated with this."
Nah, I mean, I don't think the guys are doing it intentional. It's part of the game. And if a guy loses a 95 mile an hour fastball at your head a few times, then you start to get a little irritated. But I don't think they're doing it on purpose, and it's just part of the game.
Okay, on a normal day, how many bruises are you wearing? Are they getting you on the elbow pad?
Most of them, thankfully, get the pad.
Hey, what is a game like last night where, it looked like, oh, this could go south. Your starter, who was pitching great, Justin Dunn, goes down after two innings, and, Jake Fraley is scratched before the game, and it felt like, okay, maybe this isn't going to be the night. And to pull it out in the fashion that you guys did, and just seeing the celebration was awesome. But what does that do for a team that's young and, a little uneven in terms of performance? That's got to go a long way, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, Dunn was coming out, had some good stuff going, and then unfortunately had to be pulled, and the bullpen did a great job. They've done a great job for us all year, and like you said, us being so young and being able to pull off a win like that, it gives us a lot of confidence, and that's one thing this team needs is confidence. If we can keep that rolling, we're going to be in a good spot.
Ty, who kind of leads the way in that confidence? I mean, this team has taken some serious injury hits, and it's been a roller coaster at times, and you guys are the last ones to jump off.
Yeah, I mean, if you just watch the game and, leaning on Kyle Seager, he's done a great job for us. He's one of our few veteran guys, and, he's kind of embraced that, and he's an open book. You can come to him for anything, and You know, to see him end the game the way that he did last night, you know, that's just another reason for us to, you know, not only one, believe in him, but, you know, just lean on him and use him as much as we can.
Tell us a little bit about that celebration last night. It looks like you guys wanted to do more, but he wasn't having it.
Yeah. He's taking his fair share of celebrations. So, you know, he's used to that. And, you know, we got him the best that we could, but, you know, with Sieg, you gotta, you know, take it easy on him.
He was very stern. We were talking about it earlier. It was like a dad talking to his kid, like, put it down.
Yeah, no, that's funny. He keeps things light around here, and, you know, he does a great job.
Do you feel like one of the veterans out here? I mean, you're only 26. Actually, you're going to be 27 coming up in less than a month here, so you're going to be one of the old guys at the ripe old age of 27. But, I mean, as young as this club is, we were talking about, you know, Kelnick is 21 and Trammell's 23. I mean, there's just so much youth. Do you even at 26, about to be 27, feel like a wily old veteran?
Yeah, you know, I learned a lot in San Diego from those guys, you know, Manny Hawes, those type of leaders and veterans. And, you know, coming over here, it's not like I have a ton of service time, but to be able to, you know, use what they taught me over there. And, you know, I try and lead by example. You know, I'm not going to be the one to yell at guys unless they really need it. But, you know, it's nice feeling like, yeah, like one of those guys that can, you know, guys can lean on.
You mentioned last night, I think it was in your interview, that defensively I don't know if I want to say you're getting more comfortable. I'm not saying that you weren't comfortable out there, but you've made some big steps thanks to Perry Hill. What has he done for you out there?
Yeah, no, he's done a great job with me. You know, just to be able to kind of give me some structure and, you know, help me slow the game down. This game can speed up on you real quick. And, you know, to give us something to lean back on and fall back on while we're out there, to be able to slow the game down, has been huge for me.
As far as first base, third base, where are you more comfortable?
You know, honestly, they're both pretty much the same. I've played both positions, you know, throughout my entire career. Those are the two positions where I'm most comfortable at. But, you know, either one, it's as long as I'm out there on the field, I enjoy it.
We're visiting with Ty France for a couple of minutes more. And, Ty, I just got to ask, your T-shirt game has been on point all year long. I've noticed this in the post-game Zooms from the baseballism. You look like you had the whole Griffey series. I think you're wearing the Evan White right now. I think I saw a Mitch Haniger.
You can see that from here?
I think it's what he wore last night. I think it's in the rotation. It's this week's shirt. What goes into who you are putting out there on the T-shirts every day?
Oh, I don't really put too much thought into it. I just grab one. But T-shirts are cool. And when I was in San Diego, it seemed like we had a new shirt every other day. So, you know, trying to bring that over here.
Where are the Ty France shirts at?
I'm still waiting for someone to make them. I'm not as cool as Mitch and Evan. I don't get a shirt yet.
I think it should be a white shirt with a giant bruise on it somewhere. It'll signify how many times you've been plunked, man.
We want to remember the good thing, not the bad.
Well, let me ask you, in light of that, obviously the biggest story in baseball over the past couple of weeks has been, you know, pitchers and the substances they're using and things like that. And we're seeing guys, you know, pitch Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer and these guys talk about, you know, hey, I want to be able to control the ball. And if we don't have this, you know, they're going to be 95-mile-an-hour pitches going up against batters' heads and things like that. As a hitter, when you hear them talk about, hey, I don't have a grip if I don't have this stuff, does that worry you? Do you feel like, no, this is going to even the playing field? How do you view this big substance controversy, if you will?
You know, it's something that, you know, I haven't really looked into too much. You know, they're going to do what they want, and, you know, we just have to adjust. And you know, I think there are ways that they can gain grip without, you know, using all the super sticky stuff. But, you know, like I said, it's not something that I really worry about.
Hey, before we let you go, what do you think of those uniforms they're going to be wearing tomorrow?
Yeah, those are pretty sweet. I think it's the first time I saw them. You know, they're cool. They have good representation to them, and, you know, I'm excited to wear them.
Yeah, the Juneteenth celebration, the special uniforms, or watching them take pictures down there on the field look really cool. Ty, very cool to talk to you, man. Thanks so much for taking a few minutes with us. Glad you're getting healthy, and congrats on the success, and hopefully it continues.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
There you go. Ty France of your Seattle Mariners. And just a guy who's just a hitter. He's just such a good hitter.
That's his T-shirt, not the brome. It's Ty France. He can really hit.
I like the white shirt with a bruise on it.
Then maybe put a bruise on it, too. As he said, let's stay with the positive here.
Yeah, he doesn't. You know, we were talking with when Wyman was in last week. We were talking about this, about, you know, who's most likely to charge the mound, because this team never gets in fights.
Right.
They never gets it.
Seeing a lot of them, period. I mean, it's not.
I mean, just even pretend fights, even the hold me back fight, where they just show their displeasure with being plunked. I think we had to go back to Richie Sexton, you know, in his time here. You had to go back to
when he threw the helmet.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you got to think that far back. But we were talking about who seemed most likely. We kind of thought it would be Ty France, but in talking to him, he seemed so just kind of like, they're not doing it on purpose. they taught us not to move. He seems very at peace with it.
He does, although it's funny. He told a funny story last night in that, you know, he went to SDSU. Tony Gwynn was the head coach just in his final years when he was there. And Tony said, you know, he thought it was nonsense that they were basically out there not getting out of the way. He said, I need you guys healthy, but okay, whatever. So that kind of was not exactly always what they were taught, but that's part of the game back in college without any question.
All right, here's a little Mariner news in terms of the roster. Johan Ramirez recalled from AAA Tacoma. Vinny Natoli selected from Tacoma. Jose Godoy has been optioned to Tacoma. I don't love that. Justin Dunn has been placed on the 10-day IL, and Kyle Lewis has been transferred to the 60-day IL. So there's a bit of a movement there, and Godoy is a guy I like for his defense. That move tells me that they like Terenz up here, and he's hitting. I don't want to see him with a glove.
Oh, you're going to see him with a glove.
I don't want to see him with a glove.
You're going to see him with a glove.
I don't want to see him behind the plate.
You're going to see him. They're going for the bat.
Unless
they're prioritizing the bat right now.
Unless he turns it around behind the plate the way he has so far in a short amount of time at the plate.
I think that, what we saw from him with the glove at the beginning of the season, I do think that that was, like, the worst of the worst. I don't think that's who he is behind the plate. So if that, you know, if we see some progress from that, that will be good. I hope that you do see more of Tom Murphy. I do like giving him a little bit more to get into the season. He certainly is solid behind the plate. But, yeah, a little bit of a surprise, I think, there.
Hey, another thing we hit the other day was Scott Servais and how he's handled everything that's been thrown at him. We just gave you a whole list of moves that are being made and more players. I guess, Natoli will be the 52nd player to come through on this. So in a very brief amount of time, massive turnover with the roster, hovering around 500. I give him so much credit for sort of keeping this team afloat. I've only had one moment this season where I was sitting in front of the TV going, what are you doing, Scott? What are you doing? It's when he left Montero in the other night after he walked two guys. They talked to him. He comes up, gives the game-tying hit, still leave him in. And I'm like, okay, that's people love to complain about him. They love to text in. He doesn't know this. He doesn't know that. Get rid of him. I think it's all nonsense. That was the first moment, and really the only moment I can think of this season where I'm like, I vehemently disagree with how you're handling this.
There were a lot of questions about that, and it wasn't just that he was still in there. It was the pitch usage at that time, too. And so that was kind of a head-scratcher all around. I think that that is one that can solidly go in that category. I don't think that it was one of those where there wasn't anybody left. There wasn't much left in the bullpen.
There were options.
But, yeah, and I think that if it were a case where they had walked two right out of the gates and you could get somebody up, I think there was time to have somebody up. But at that point, I think that definitely is one that is worth questioning.
Montero, to me, is like Kikuchi was last year, where Kikuchi could come out, give you four great innings, right? He could look dominant. He could go out there and just slice through a lineup. And then when things went the wrong way, he didn't have the ability to dial it back, to reel it back in. He would just kind of, you'd kind of throw up your arms and go, all right, well, I guess that's what we see today. He got four good ones and fell apart in the fifth. Or that was sort of what he did. He's been opposite of that this year. That's Montero to me. He gets those first two outs. He looks like, boom, it's going to be a quick 1-2-3 inning. Things start to go sideways. He has a really hard time reeling it back in.
He does have a hard time reeling it back in, and I think that, you know, one of the things, he's not somebody that you can send down, so that's part of it right there. But I think usage can play into it a little bit better. Ryan Roland-Smith talked to somebody in Texas, and they were kind of scratching their head at the usage that they were having him, and that's something that the Mariners do with everybody that comes in to the bullpen. It's they break down exactly what it is that is their strong point, and they have a formula, and if you throw this pitch this amount of the time, it's going to work out very well for you. And most of the time it has. A lot of the good things, and when you're talking about, well, this guy's a surprise, that guy is a surprise, this guy, you know, Kendall Graveman throwing the slider more early on, Justice Sheffield going to the two-seamer other than the four-seamer, seeing more of the slider from JT Chargois, all of that is they sit everybody down, and this is what you need to throw more. I don't think they were going with that with Montero. So that was a little bit, I think he was going against that a little bit. So that was a little bit surprising. But, I mean, there are things you can do. Don't send him back for a second inning, soft landings, things along those lineups. It's tough for me because, obviously, you know, there is talent there. Mm-hmm. He has got the pitches. But I can only hear so many times, he's got great stuff. You need to see it play out.
Yeah. What, one other move that we just talked about, Kyle Lewis being transferred to the 60-day IL. How concerned are you that we're looking at a chronic situation? I mean, it's been bad. I mean, tearing it up at home plate, that's not a chronic. That's a collision. That's something that, you know, that happens. I don't look at that as a fragile player.
Right.
He destroyed his knee. I'm just wondering about the stability of it since he's had multiple issues with it since, and this is the same knee and now the meniscus situation. I'm wondering if we're looking at a situation where, okay, we can't expect him to play 130 games. We're going to have to really sort of pace him throughout a season.
Yeah, I think, you know, anytime you have a surgery and then a second surgery and a third surgery, obviously that all speaks to the structure of the knee and how sound that is. I, you know, without knowing, and we still don't know exactly, did they repair it? Did they remove it? What exactly?
The meniscus we're talking about,
the meniscus,
not the knee.
What exactly?
He still has the knee.
What procedure that he did have, so it's even hard to go from that. But just the history there, absolutely concerning. I mean, I don't think anybody thought he'd ever be able to play center field after his second surgery, and he did. So you just don't know, but I think that, you know, it is, signs are pointing to that. You know, perhaps you are going to have to protect that. And again, so much talent there that you want to be careful with that. So interesting that he's on the 60-day, and that'll go retroactive to the day that he was originally placed on the IL. But Scott Servais is optimistic that we will see him again this season. So obviously that would be very late in the season. But, you know, you cross your fingers that he can get going and get something going before the season ends and end on a positive note.
Hey, where are you at with it? And we asked Ty about this, the whole spider tack thing with pitchers and everything. And you're hearing, you know, Garrett Cole talk about, you know, just talk to us, work with us. And Trevor Bauer, who supports cracking down on it, but his issue is the
also
timing.
Supports using it.
Well, but his issue is, hey, you guys have swept this under the rug for years. And now because of the offense taking a nosedive, you're over-rotating here in the middle of a season rather than addressing it at the beginning of a season, which I can understand. But at the same time, I'm like, I'm listening to pitchers whine about not being able to cheat. These are illegal substances. You're not allowed to use them, yet they're saying, well, you should have given us a heads up. It's like, well, you're still doing something you're not technically supposed to be doing.
Yeah, there are always going to be questions why it has been allowed, because it is something that even like the few times that you have seen somebody get caught, even if it's just absolutely egregious what they're doing out there, you're like, well, why now? You know, it happens all of the time.
Pineda with
so
the
that's
pint
been
on the back
part
of
the history. But I think the rollout of it has been terrible. I don't know how much of an attempt was made to try and not negotiate, but discuss and come up with a plan with the players union and how you were going to address this. I think it is concerning that they took everything away, because I do think that pitchers need something for grip, not for spin, but for grip, and you don't want to see guys getting hit. I saw on Twitter about a half an hour ago, Zach Britton, who is the Yankees player rep, and I believe he is on the executive committee for the players too, one of five or six. James Paxton is on there as well, the lead players in the players union. Zach Britton is going to talk to somebody at MLB, and he is going to suggest that they go and get the baseballs that they use in Japan that already do have, they come pre-sticky. They already have something on them, and then make everything illegal after that.
Huh.
So, I mean, there are, I guess, different things that they can do, obviously. But I think a pitcher does need some sort of grip. And to just take it all away at once, I didn't think that was the best way to handle that, but I also don't think they should be using the spider tack. And, you know, they could break it down. They did the studies. You can now watch if a spin rate all of a sudden takes a great dive or a great jump. you know, let's go ahead and look into that. I think that's great. That definitely is cheating. You don't want that. But if you want to not be hitting batters, and if you're a batter that doesn't want to get hit, I think they've got to have something.
Ty doesn't care because he doesn't mind getting hit, as he's told us. But as far as you know, what they're using out there and the impact that it has, first of all, I'd never heard that about the balls in Japan, that they come pre-coated with something.
It's a different baseball. It's totally a different baseball.
Wow.
In fact, when the Mariners and the A's, when they play their exhibition games there, they bring their own baseballs.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah, I had never heard that about those. Maybe that's an option, but it's a fascinating topic. I'm wondering what we're going to see, though. 21st is when they're supposed to start cracking down. So are we going to see offensive numbers start going through the roof and pitching numbers started being inflated? You think it's going to be that dramatic? I'm very curious to see, you know, are these guys just wringing the sponge dry, so to speak, and I'm going to get this last week and I'm going to be dialing it up and getting the spin rate, and then after the 21st, they're going to be lighting me up like a pinball machine.
Well, we've already seen some drama, and the teams were told about this in spring training, that this could be coming, and they knew, you know, it was very public that they were going to be monitoring. MLB put that out. So the thought is that a lot of pitchers actually have gone off of the stuff in the last couple of weeks. And so in the drama that we've seen, obviously now you've got pitchers who are blaming injuries, perhaps, for it.
Oh, yeah, from Glasnow, the Rays.
Yeah.
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 You see Wilhelmson called him out on Twitter?
No.
He would basically said, really? You're saying you had to change your grip and now you're injured? Cry me a river. I mean, he put it out there. He did not pull any punches with that.
So we're definitely seeing the drama. We've also seen the hitting numbers go up a tad bit over the last couple of weeks too, but that also could be your deeper in the season right now. So I mean, all of this definitely will be monitored, but I think we've probably taken the biggest drama hit already, kind of the preemptive in what they were going to do.
Here's Tom's tweet. Are pitchers really saying they're getting hurt because they can't use illegal substances anymore? Cry me a river, you big baby. Pretty good example you are.
I do not have Tom Wilhelmson on. What is he doing, right? Is he in a bartending in Arizona?
I don't know. Somebody actually tagged me in his tweet, and then I went and looked in just to make sure it was his page, and it's verified. It's his page.
It is. All right.
Yeah. So he's taking issue with somebody saying, oh, see, you took away my spider tack. I had to adjust my grip, and now I'm injured. It's your fault, which seems a little far-fetched to me, but whatever. I love that he called him out. Cry me a river, you big baby. All right. Our thanks to Ty France for joining us in that segment. Coming up, it's the longest road losing streak in Major League Baseball history. We'll talk about it next with Wyman and Bob. Live from T-Mobile Park, Shannon Dreher in for Dave Wyman on 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live through the Alaska Airlines studio on the 710 Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park as the Mariners get set for game two of their series with the Tampa Bay Rays. Got to look a little preview at the uniforms they'll be wearing to celebrate Juneteenth. Very cool uniforms. I want to get one of those hats. I'm going to have to make a little pit stop at the team store on the way out of the building today and check that out. But very cool. Brilliant weather. Beautiful day. It's amazing this is the office for today, isn't it?
It's my office every day.
It's remarkable. Well, but it's not always this pretty. Often the roof will be closed. It could be a little chilly. It gets very chilly here, as we've learned in the press box.
We have heaters. We have little heaters.
You do?
Oh, yeah. They've been used this week, too. At night, we are up. We're in the marine layer up in the press box. And I'm sure you've noticed that.
Oh, yeah. I've been in there with my nose running before sitting in the press box and gone to visit friends who are in seats. And it's warmer outside in their seats than it is in the press box.
I think they're doing it deliberately, but
it's Tim Heavily. He wants to show you that everybody here in Washington are softies, and where he's from, this is not even cold. That's shorts weather. Hey, you got a little bit of info on Justin Dunn and what's going on with his situation.
Yeah, as we heard, he's been placed on the 10-day IL. He did have the MRI, came out of the game last night with the sore shoulder, and apparently Scott found out because Dunn threw the nice three innings, everything looked good, and then pitching coach Pete Woodworth just came up to him and said, Dunn's done. Mm. And there was, like, no indicator whatsoever. It just did not feel right. He's had the MRI. They do not have the results, but this is sounding like it's going to be a little bit longer than what it was last time when he was just out for 10 days because he needed a couple of extra days at that point. Scott said, and I think some people are going to be happy about this, but it's more semantics than anything else. They are going to go with basically a five-man rotation up until the All-Star break, anticipating that Dunn will not be in there. And it's really going, they can do that because they've got so many off days that they're really, most of the pitchers will be still on their regular rest as a six-man rotation. There will be just two times when a pitcher has to pitch on 4 days rest. And the way it lines up, I believe it's the more veterans or those that can kind of handle the change a little bit more. But up until the All-Star break, they're just going to go with the five starters. So no bullpen days is, I think, probably the news people will be happy to hear.
Yeah, so five-man rotation, but in terms of rest, really still the six-man rotation rest, except for two instances you're talking about here.
Right.
So,
right.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, I could do without the bullpen days. I think most people could. And everybody's still getting their rest. That's good. I'm in. You know, is trying as this season has been, and is many moments as there have been to really cling to and go, boy, that was awful. You could be the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Ooh.
How would you like to be a fan of the Arizona Diamondbacks, who have now made history for a new level of futility? 23 consecutive road losses. 23. It's just...
Thankfully, I can say I cannot imagine, and I have not experienced that.
That's amazing.
I've been on some bad road trips before.
Certainly.
I've been on like 10-game road trips, losing streaks and things like that, but 22 on the road.
23. Ooh,
23.
Yeah, don't shortchange them. How can they be? You luck into one. You go up against a pitcher who's having a bad day. The opposition commits errors. They just have an off day somewhere in there. How is it possible to lose 23? You didn't run into one somewhere? You didn't...
How do you feel walking into those ballparks every day on the road? It just, you know, I know that they compartmentalize, they've got short memories, but man, that's pretty tough right there. The Orioles kind of in the same boat. They haven't won a game since the no-hitter here on the road.
They haven't won a road game since then?
Yeah.
Is that right? How many games is that for them, do you know?
If I had known, I would have said how many that was, Bob.
Wow. Well, all right.
And knowing you, I should have known better than to even bring it up without knowing that.
I got to ask questions.
I thought
now.
I would, yes.
Jeez, I didn't realize they had won a road game.
Bob asking
then.
Questions.
My goodness. Yeah, it's. I mean, listen, I understand it can be painful to be a Mariner fan. There are plenty of things. I was disgusted after San Diego. That San Diego series, I felt like a gut punch. They weren't competitive. I can live with losing. They're going to lose. I can understand that. You're going to lose. You're a young team. You're going to be very up and down. Totally get the inconsistency. That series, for me, I just walked away going, what the hell was that? You weren't even representative there.
It was, yeah, and I think that was addressed, too. There was a team meeting after the finale there, and it was, let's play a little bit better. We need to play a little bit better here. It's not just the injuries. It's not just the COVID list at that point and everything that had happened. And that's kind of the main thing. It's like if you can play clean baseball out there, you've got a shot in the first half of the season particularly. What's going to get a little bit tougher is that as the season goes on, teams that are gearing up for the postseason, it's a whole different level of competition.
Right.
This game is going to change. And so that's why I hope that they are able to get guys back healthy. A, you need to see them. And B, I think the second half is going to be tougher for them as the more veteran teams settle in and then start to build toward a postseason. And I think that's kind of where it's easier for those teams to take those steps forward, where the younger teams, the ones that are still developing, are still kind of at the same pace that they have been at throughout a year. That's what I have seen. So hopefully you do have the opportunity to get some reinforcements in here back from the IL and keep it going. But, yeah, San Diego, I mean, there have been – it's in the broadcast booth. We try and keep everything as positive as possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part of that is we're in it. We're going to be there for all 162.
Yep.
You don't want to be panicking in the first month. You don't want to really be panicking in the second month. But this roller coaster, there have been times where we're like, okay, that was it.
Yeah. Like, what did we just watch? What did we just watch?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And every single time they have come back.
What was your thought about this team going into the season? I don't know if you did a win prediction. We did on the show. I said they'd be a 73-win team, and then I revised it to 76. I think they're going to be a below 500 team. I do. I'm with you. I think the second half of the season gets tougher. I think the unevenness of their performance, and it's not that, oh, this team's trash. This is what a rebuild looks like. So to me, I thought, okay, yeah, 76 wins feels about right. What do you think?
I don't make predictions on wins and losses ever.
We won't hold you to it.
Well, you won't, because I won't do it. But what I said at the beginning of the season, which would put them over 500, that's a prediction right there. What I say, and it's really irrelevant, because at that point in September, I don't care what they did in April. I don't care what they did in May. The most important thing is, what are they in September? Because that's what's going to be the biggest indicator of where they are going next year, and that's the right. most important thing. So for me, my prediction was we will see them, you know, continue to grow throughout the season. And the most important thing was that they finish strong, and that you do get the Kelnicks, that you do get the Raleighs, that they do get up, and Gilbert, who is, you know, so far so good, that they do get up and they do get a good amount of experience and all of the first out of the way. And hopefully they start on an upward trajectory too. That's the most important thing to me, is what they look like in September.
I'm looking at the records here, by the way, and the Arizona Diamondbacks on the road are 9-31, which means they were, what do we say, they've lost 23 in a row, so they were 9-8 before the streak started. They were a winning team on the road, and they are 9-31 now. That is remarkable. So they were 9-8, and now you fast forward to 9-31. And the Orioles, for their part, you brought them up, they're 11-25. On the road, and they're an 11-win team at home, 11-21 at home. So two really, really bad teams, but unbelievable what's
going
on.
Just refer people back when they start not being happy with where this team is.
You could be a fan of the Diamondbacks or the Orioles. That's exactly right. All right, coming up, who made us say why, man, this week? You're going to hear it next. It's Wyman and Bob with Shannon Dreher in live from T-Mobile Park on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Why, man? Why?
Lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
He's a habitual line stepper.
What were you thinking? What are you doing?
Why are you the way that you are?
It's the Why Man of the Week.
We do it every week, and as we say, the world of sports is plentiful. They provide us with tons of material, tons of moments where you just look at it and go, why, man? Why would you do that? Why would you say that? What do we have this week, Lefko?
Well, we have the usual suspect, Mike Florio. And this time, for some random reason, right now he's going all in. He's questioning why the Seahawks did not sign Jamal Adams to a long-term deal when they traded for him.
I don't know when this became an acceptable trend in the NFL. Well, I know when it's not acceptable in my view. Don't ask me. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But I know this. If I'm going to give up multiple first-round picks for Laremy Tunsil, or for Jalen Ramsey, or for Jamal Adams, you, I'm trying not to curse here. You bet your ass I'm good. I get that. That's acceptable. You bet your ass I'm getting him signed to a new contract on the way through the door. What the hell are these people thinking? What was Bill O'Brien thinking? What was Les Snead and Sean McVay thinking? What would John Schneider and Pete Carroll thinking? You're going to do this trade and not get him signed? You give him all the power, all the leverage.
All right. I wonder how he feels about that. I'm a little unclear as to what he's upset about. I think, A, everybody's salary cap situation upon making these deals is in a completely different spot. So I don't really recall where the Seahawks were, if they were in a position where they could do that. B, you've got them on their rookie deal, which is very, very team friendly in the situation with Jamal Adams. I can't speak to Tunsil and Jalen Ramsey, but it would seem that on the surface, those are the two obvious points I would look at and say, well, yeah, that makes sense. They've got him at a very cheap deal, very cheap price. He's agreed to play out that deal. It buys you more time to field the team around him and spend that money elsewhere. And then when the time comes, you know you're going to be dealing with him and signing him to an extension.
Is he assuming that there's going to be some great discount there?
I don't really know. It sounds like it's just to avoid what's going on now.
And what is going on now? They'll be fine. They'll make a deal. I don't think anyone thinks they're not going to get a deal.
I'm not sure what the angst is about, but he was pretty angsty. He wanted to curse.
That's why he goes in our Y-Men. So Yeah, that's him. Why man number one? And I do like that he undermined it. He undermined his whole argument by saying, "Well, I don't know what I'm talking about."
Yeah.
We go, yes, exactly.
That was his best point.
That's why you're on there. All right. So we have a couple of back to, you know, spider tack and the baseball issues, and we played this a couple days ago. But Tyler Glass now, he's just, you know, going off on Major League Baseball. He thinks they are the reason why he got hurt.
But I just threw 80-something, 70-whatever innings, and then you just told me I can't use anything in the middle of the year. I had to change everything I've been doing the entire season, everything out of the window. I have to start doing something completely new. And then I'm telling you, I truly believe that's why I got hurt. Me throwing 100 and being 6'7 is why I got hurt, but that contributed. And so I'm just frustrated that, like, they don't understand how hard it is to pitch one, but to tell us to do something completely different in the middle of a season is insane. I just don't, it's ridiculous. There has to be some give and take here. You can't just take away everything and not add something. Pitchers need to be able to have some sort of control or some sort of grip on the ball.
You should have started with that last line. Yeah, everything else should not have happened.
Yeah, I'm once again going to quote the great Tom Wilhelmson. Are pitchers really saying they are getting hurt because they can't use illegal substances anymore? Cry me a river, you big baby. That's Tom Wilhelmson.
Don't cheat.
Yes, I love that he squeezes it in there. Well, I'm 6'7", throwing 100, and that's probably why I got hurt. But this certainly contributed. What are you talking about, man? This is just... I don't know that there's any connection between injury and lack of sticky substances on the ball. I have not every pitcher has used a substance. A lot of them have. I would say probably more have than have not.
Even if there was, I don't think there would have been for your sunscreen and your rosin mixture. If you're using Spider Tack, perhaps. If you're going to the extreme, I don't know. Maybe I will allow for that. But if everybody was using something and it wasn't to the extreme, then you're going to see a lot of arms fall off. I don't think that's the case.
There are going to be arms laying all over the field. Guys out there running the field crew, picking them up, putting them in bags.
Well, here's a man who is very likely using Spider Tack, or at least was not prepared for a question about it. And this was last week. I know this was last week, Garrett Cole, but we didn't have Why Man last week. We only had a one-hour show, and it was such a good, awkward response to a question that for Why Man number three, we have to go to Garrett Cole here.
And have you ever used Spider Tack while pitching?
I don't know how to answer that, to be honest. There are customs and practices that have been passed down from older players to younger players, from the last generation of players to this generation of players.
He could not have handled that worse. Could not have stammered, thought out loud worse than he did there. I mean, that giant pause was just an automatic, yes, I've used it. I don't know how to answer that.
Easy. There's a yes and there's a no.
Wow.
And you choose one of them.
That goes into the horrible answer Hall of Fame right there.
Well, and unfortunately, again, this is where you just said, I wish that Players Association and baseball had come together and come up with a solution
before the season.
Or even in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to have something here. Apparently that didn't happen.
The one thing I do agree with some of these guys is just the timing, because as Trevor Bauer said, they've known about this for years. It's not a new thing that just cropped up this year. They're just reacting to the plummeting offensive numbers around the league and the spin rates and six no-hitters in the first, 6 weeks of the season, whatever it was. I mean, so they just sort of over-rotated on that, and it became a very knee-jerk thing as opposed to, all right, let's figure this out. Let's address it. And it should have been done in the offseason. They didn't, so.
Well, I would say that things have been more extreme this year than they were in the past. So if they are reacting to that, if that is the case, then I think that is valid. But there is a lot of talk even before this that baseball is changing too many things too quickly. And, you look back 5-10 years ago, it would be unheard of to change something in the season. And we've seen that with a couple of different new rules. So that, I can understand some frustration on that. But I think I don't like taking that from somebody who's been cheating.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, I love that answer or non-answer. That was awesome. That was not edited. That big gap, that big silence.
Well, apparently the talking points hadn't reached him either in that case, because he should have had some sort of answer there.
Yeah, that's part of the why, man, too. Why PR staff? Why did no one think, hey, this is going to be a question to you, at least in some aspect? Not maybe directly, did you use this substance, but you're going to have to address this.
He was ill-prepared.
He was completely unprepared.
Ill-prepared, that
Garrett. How did he think he wouldn't be asked that either?
I don't. He clearly
because
didn't.
Because he's kind of been the picture of this.
He clearly didn't expect it based on his reaction. That was really awful. All right, there you go. Why, man? We do that every single week. By the way, during the break, I'm going to show you a video. Shannon and I had Frank in studio the other day, and he barked when Dave Wyman was doing a commercial read.
Perfect.
And Lefko cut the video, and you see Wyman jump in the air. And in the middle of his read, he goes, whoa. It's a hilarious video. It's up there on Twitter.
It's a tiny dog, Wyman.
Oh, it startled him. It was hilarious. You guys can check it out if you're on Twitter, at Bob Stelton or at Wyman and Bob. Shannon, it was great having you in here. Thanks for hanging out for a bit.
Hey, anytime. You know where I am.
Wait, you're right here.
We freezing. Find
yeah, freezing to death in the booth here.
Watching baseball.
All right, Mike Lefko will join me the rest of the way. Coming up, the professor, John Clayton, will join us. So you guys know the drill. If you've got questions for John, text them in right now to 710-710, the Mac and Jack's text line. It's coming your way next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.